Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the last time that we were here, we had myself as the chairperson of the board, and the acting CEO, who was also the acting CFO, and the acting chief operations officer, and the acting mine manager, all in one person, Bernard Adhan. I think since then, the board is very pleased to say that it has appointed Mr. Percy Khoza as the CEO of AlexCorp. Percy, in our opinion, is one of the leading mine executives in the country. He has had he's got significant experience in diamonds. He used to run the Transhex operations in the Richtersveld. He was with Anglo Gold, and before he joined us, he was running the Optimum coal mine, Colliery, which is a major supplier of coal to Eskom. It has recently been sold to Glencore, and we were fortunate enough to recruit him. I think also what's important for the committee to note is that Percy has assembled what we believe is a world-class team who collectively have 100 years of experience. And this is just not empty praise. I think what we've seen Percy and his team do at the AlexCorp, particularly down at the diamond mine, has been absolutely phenomenal. The last time we came here, we were showing a loss, and it had been a loss for the last 11 years. Consecutively, and employment had gone down from 2,000 people to approximately 88. Since then, the praise that we give Percy is based on real fact. Percy has almost doubled production. We've gone from 30,000 carats to over 55,000 carats for this year, and the anticipated production for the years to come is 70,000, going up to 90,000 and above. I think what's also more important is that we've shown a profit. The profit has not just been a paper profit where we've shuffled around numbers. It's real. From an employment point of view, Percy and his team have been able to take the employment from 88 to over 231 today, and it's anticipated that we'll go up to 400 by the time the next time we meet. So for us as a board, we want to commend Percy and his team. I think we'd like to allow Percy now to lead the presentation. I think the way the presentation is designed is that each of his members of the executive will be making their respective contributions. So with that, Chair, I'd like to hand over to Percy.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honourable members, I just would like to start to introduce my team. And I'm going to start to talk a bit about our CFO, Mkhosi Ndlovu. Mkhosi has spent a lot of time, you know, he grew up in Gobodo as an auditor. He spent a lot of time with the IGC of South Africa and looking at mining deals. And the last 10 years has been the head of commercial for Richards Bay Minerals and Richards Bay for Rio Tinto. We're very get Mkhosi to come and become part of our team at Alex. Zarela Kalaman has been a partner at Evershed, looking mostly at mining issues and infrastructure issues. And spent the last sort of 3 years on her own on a company called Navy Justice, where she was looking at arbitration matters. So we're very happy, Chairperson, to have Zarina on our team. And on my left, Ms. Moshe Makwaka joined us from a company called Continental Coal, and she was head of HR for Continental. And she has spent a lot of time in Investec and HR as well. So we're very happy as well to have her as part of the team at Alesco. Tsum Sanga is a CA, basically grew up within the Aircon Group, has been with us at Alesco for the last 2.5 years, has been positioned at the mine as the head of finance. She's now moved up to our head office in Joburg, and we're very excited to have her as part of the team looking at as well. Without wasting further time, ladies and gentlemen, the presentation is structured that all of us are going to talk through it. We're going to allow an opportunity first to Ms. Kalaman to take us through the presentation, and then all filling data as well.
Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, it is an honour and a privilege for us as the board and management of AlexCorp to be present in this chamber today, presenting to you the annual report for the year ended 31 March 2013. An honour for which we are grateful and for which we thank you. As Percy has indicated, we have structured our presentation in a way that allows various members of our management team to take you through certain aspects of the report. We haven't changed the presentation that you have in front of you, but we have rearranged our slides slightly, or the order of our slides slightly, and we apologize for that. Honourable members, let me begin by making a simple statement. As a new, small, but dynamic team, we believe that we have begun to make inroads into changing the face of what many perceive to be a small, struggling SOC. We are grateful to our executive authority, to whom we report, for all the guidance and assistance that we have received over the past year. Our presentation will cover some key aspects, the first of which includes that of performance. The predetermined objectives for the company were agreed in the Shareholders' Compact and Corporate Plan for 2013. However, with the replacement of the Board of Directors at the AGM in September 2012, the Minister of Public Enterprises provided the new board with an opportunity to review and amend its targets. These targets were reviewed at the strategy session of the board in December 2012. And we are pleased to announce that out of a total of 30 targets being identified, only two targets were not achieved, allowing for a success rate of 93% as against the success rate in 2012 of 66%. Those two targets included lost time injuries and an issue around skills shortage, but these issues have been dealt with. Turning now to deal with the corporate governance report. The financial year commenced with five non-executive directors and an acting CEO, pursuant to the termination of the contract of the former CEO in September 2011. During the 2012 AGM, the entire board, with the exception of Dr. Paul, was rotated. A new board, under the chairpersonship of Mr. Bagus, was appointed. An additional three members were appointed in June 2013. At present, the board consists of 10 directors, 8 of which are non-executive and 2 of which are executive. Significant inroads have also been made on the appointment of an executive team consisting of a CEO, a CFO, a CLO, a COO, and a number of senior managers in the form of group managers for HR, finance, and technical. The duties and responsibilities of the board are embodied in the company's memorandum of incorporation, enabling legislation, as well as corporate governance best practice. The board offers guidance and direction to the executive team. The board has appointed 4 subcommittees during the year: audit and risk, social ethics and human resources, tender, and rehabilitation. 3 directors of the board also hold positions of directorship on the board of the pooling and sharing joint venture as is required by the deed of settlement. Members will recall that in terms of the settlement of the land claim in the Rustenburg, Alex Core and the government concluded a settlement with the community wherein a pooling and sharing joint venture was established, which allowed for the pooling of Alex Core's and the community's land and mining, marine mining rights into a joint venture managed by the board. It is this board on which 3 directors represent the interests of Alex Core. The new board and management have made it a priority to engage with stakeholders. We place high value on relationships. A fair amount of effort has gone into strengthening relationships both with the community, our joint venture partner, and our executive authority, the Department of Public Enterprises. I would now like to turn over to our CEO, Mr. Korza, to deal with the question of production. Thank you.
Honourable members, just with regards to current production, we did actually have just a slight decrease last year. But I must comment, you know, that going forward, you know, during this particular financial year and the next year coming, I can actually assure the honourable members that we're going to actually significantly increase the production by more than 50%. From the number that we had last year. That obviously underpinned by the exploration program that we've been able to finalize in December last year, that has actually revealed some significant deposits within the land mass in Alaska. If I just give the split in this particular regard, if you just look at the next slide there, then the bulk of the obviously carrots are coming from the marine environment, you know, obviously because we never had a strong exploration program on land because of all the land claims. But I'm happy to announce that that's all history. You know, we've got a solid exploration program now, underpinned by 50 million rands, you know, exploration plan that we've put in there, which I believe is state of the art with regards to alluvial diamond mining. And that will now enable us to put down what we refer to as the indicated resource, you know, for the alluvial deposit that becomes bankable, you know, for Alaska going into the future. So from a numbers point of view, we're looking at 50% increase this financial year, and I can put my head on the block, we'll have 100% increase from that base of 35,000 by year two, which is basically next year. As with regards to the beach mining, you know, last year we saw quite an increase in sea days to 22, which is very positive, you know, for us, because over the years there's been a significant decline on the number of sea days that we've been seeing at Alaska. And I must comment again, for this particular year, we are already sitting at 22. But if you just look at it, 22 for just the beach mining, there's been a significant increase, again, with regards to carrots from the marine environment, mainly because this new management has really embarked on really, you know, effectively managing those marine contracts, you know, at Arizona Bay. Okay, and then I'll just hand over to Buse just to tell us a bit about the human resources.
Thank you, Honorable Members. With regards to our staff complement, as of the 31st of March 2013, we had a total number of 873 employees. 84.4% of our staff members belong to unions. If you compare our staff complement March 2012, we were sitting at 775, so we note a steady increase in our employment numbers. And we're looking forward to more than 1,000 employment opportunities by the end of 2014. Moving on to the next slide. In terms of our employment equity, in total, at March 2013, we have 83% of our staff complement being HDSAs. Our next slide is about our social and labor plan commitments. We have budgeted just over 2.2 million for 2013-2014, and for 2014-2015, we have budgeted 2.4 million. Thank you.
Okay, I'll just be covering the PSJV operations up in Alexander Bay. For the year ended 31st March 2013, we had a diamond revenue of 184 million. It was slightly down, but that was also due to the lower carats that that were produced during the year. As Percy has mentioned, the seed days did increase during the year, which was a positive. And but some of the challenges that were faced during the year included contract management as well as and the lack of exploration on land. But as Percy has alluded to, that has begun in the current year in December, and we're seeing quite good dividends from that. Just quickly taking the members through, a small net profit was realized from the PSJV of 4.7 million, and cash reserves were stable during the year as well. Okay, just a summary of the statement of financial position. We had cash in the rehab trust, which is used to address the historical rehab liability of 109 million. We had a pension fund surplus of 16.3 million. The retirement benefit obligation that has been sitting with Alexco was settled during the year, and we had a share capital of about 400 million. Okay, a summary of the statement of comprehensive income. There's a revenue of 93.9, which is 51% of the PSJV that Alexco has an interest in. There was a provision for rehab liability during the year of 10.7 million. And then there was an operating loss of 20.7. However, that was countered by net finance income during the year of 51 million, which brought us to a profit for the year of 29.7 million.
Thank you to panel members. I will just wrap the presentation. We've looked at the PSJV operations, and we've looked at the Annexco operations, how it's fared last year. But just give you a context of some of the issues under the control environment. You know, firstly, just to highlight that as Annexco, we have an Excel auditor who does our Excel audit. And we do have a fraud hotline facility, which we believe is working very well. We are obviously working very hard to make sure that it is effective and it is well communicated within the company, the employees, and the community around. Just to highlight that, you know, during the year ending 31st March 2013, there were a few control issues that we identified. Those issues are around the fixed asset register, around the HR, around the procurement in IT. And I guess, you know, given the fact that we now have a full complement of competent people, and that's the reason why all of those issues have been successfully resolved, you know, and we hope and we believe that, you know, going forward, we are in a very strong position to manage and ensure that all control environment and issues are addressed accordingly. Just to take you through and highlight two of the issues that were raised, you know, on the audit. It is very important to know that we had an unqualified audit report, which was good for such an SOC, but we didn't take it for granted. That is why we're working very hard to ensure that we retain the status quo. But however, there were two issues identified, you know, as a matter of emphasis. The first one was around the fruitless investment expenditure. It had a direct result of, it was because of the deal settlement, which, you know, we had to engage, you know, quite two competent auditing firms to make sure that the interpretation of the deal settlement and the interpretation of how accounting standard operates is in line. Unfortunately, the two had different views. As a result, you know, there was an element of where we actually claim VAT, you know, on the money received from the government, which we're not supposed to pay. But those monies have been paid over. Obviously, we have to pay penalties to SARS, you know. But we are hoping that, you know, as we understand, you know, the deal settlement and implication, we're actually much better positioned to make sure that how we deal with issues is aligned with PFMA as well as the deal settlement. The other issue that was actually raised was around procurement on the contract, you know, for the marine contract. I'm happy to say that although it was an issue, it had two elements. Firstly, you know, legally, Annexco is the owner of the mining rights, and therefore, you know, beach mining, you know, Annexco has a responsibility. But unfortunately, for the deed of settlement, you know, any contract had to be done, you know, through the PSJV, you know. So, but what happened is, you know, those contracts were actually signed, you know, by Annexco instead of PSJV, but that has been resolved. And we are very pleased that as the contracts are coming for renewal later this year, you know, we will make sure that, you know, the contracts, you know, are signed accordingly. The second issue on those contracts was around the issue of tax clearance certificate, you know, which the auditors found that some of the contractors that were awarded, you know, didn't provide the tax clearance certificate. But this happened, you know, prior to any of the government. But I'm happy to say that when the new board took over last year, they made sure that, you know, that was resolved. All the contractors, you know, were given opportunity to actually submit, you know, and those that didn't submit were terminated. And there were no money spent on those contractors that didn't provide the tax clearance certificate. Those are the two issues. Just to give you a highlight on the cash position of the operation. We're sitting with a cash of about 556 million. Of that, only about 139 million is actually for operational expenses. The rest of the money, which is about 400 million, is really geared for specific projects. And those are the key projects that we are managing closely to make sure that the money is spent for what was intended for. Just to give you a summary of the main key areas where the projects, it was the first one was the township development, you know, establishment. We are happy to announce that all the four phases of the township establishment have been completed, and we are in a good position, and we are managing, you know, the funds, retaining, to make sure that we actually incur and expand the money for what is intended for. And the
Chairperson, through you, mention the four, specify the four phases, please.
The four phases, or if we...
Yeah, I can come in there. The first one was basically road infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
and then it was water recirculation, mm-hmm. and then it was water recirculation and sewage facilities, and then the third one was electrification, re-electrification of all the houses, and then the the last one was more to do with more recreational activities on parks and township sort of like, you know, professional activities. Yeah. So all of them are complete, you know, we've got certificates and everything is looking like it's never looked before in other countries.
All of the things are done.
All of the things are done.
Okay.
The one to highlight also is the PSJV recapitalization. And it is one of the reasons why we you know, our COO has mentioned the positiveness in which we think we can able to take this operation to the next level, where we can actually double, you know, our production. You know, we instituted a maize plant where we spent about 50 million, and it's now operational. You know, to actually do exploration, and we believe that it is one of the vehicles that we are going to use to actually take this organization further. Those are the really issues that, you know, we wanted to discuss around the financials. The last issue really is around the litigation, which I'll just hand over to Ms. Zarena.
Thank you. Just to note that there were no significant changes in the ongoing litigation matters. As a management team, we inherited two litigation matters in the form of Nabera and Rislane. These were instituted in 1999 and 2002, respectively. Nabera has been dormant for about since 2005, and Rislane is expected to go to court later this year. The other litigation matter that bears mentioning is that of the company instituting a claim against the government for restitution of assets. In terms of the deed of settlement, Alex Gore had to transfer certain assets over to the community and or other entities, including other government entities. And it is at that stage, a claim was brought in the Land Claims Court, which then went to mediation before Justice O'Regan, and a mediation agreement was concluded. But it's that outstanding 202 million rand that we are now looking to, being assisted by the executive authority to claim. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Alex Corp. I must say, it's always lovely when we hear that they're not acting people anymore. We don't like that. We like having permanence and stability. So congratulations, and we wish you all the best. Just three things I'd like to touch on, please. The issue about the VAT that was paid incorrectly, that you had to then pay SARS the penalties. How did that happen? Because that to me seems like a pretty sort of standard thing that we should know how to do. What were the penalties that eventually had to be paid over to SARS, And you know, how was this allowed to happen? Because to me, that's a very serious issue and one that shouldn't be taken lightly. Also, with the employment, you mentioned at one stage only having 88 employees at the mine. The people that are now employed, are they ex-employees that have been re-employed, retrained? Are they members of the community? Can you just explain to us how you've increased that staff component? And then my last question is the carrots that the mine is said to yield. I see it's gone up to, was it 55,000 carrots, and that your aim is 70,000 carrots going forward. How do you plan to increase this amount? And if you could just give us a bit of an explanation of how you get from the 50,000 to the 70,000, quite a massive jump that you intend taking. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation, and congratulations on your profit. First time a profit of 29.7 million is great. And I think you can also convey that to your workers and the staff for the hard work, because it's not only you that did it, because it's your staff and your as a state-owned company. On page 36, on your revenue, it's an important aspect, but you see diamond prices are determined in US dollars, and your exchange rate determines the actual rand value of money flowing into the PSJV. Now, your budget against actual, your exchange rate, it was 7 rand 80 to the dollar, and your actual was 8 rand 70. So it's a budget versus actual, about the deviation of 11.5%. My question is, what is your budget for your exchange rate currently? Related to that, you say the diamond prices in US dollar terms, in 2012 it was $606 per carat. Last year it was $658 per carat. My question, what is it currently for the current year we're in the new year? Then on page 38, your land production, I need to point out a printing error in your flawless document. It's not a deficit of 7,771, it's 4,771. CFO, you may correct that. Your land mining was very disappointing in that year, 2013. And basically you state the reason is exclusion of the southern portions of the mine. Can you just explain why it happened and has it been resolved now in the new financial year? And then lastly, on page 60, your land rehabilitation. You didn't discuss it here, or I didn't pick it up. Page 60. If you can just, we've read through it, what you've done, but just give us an update on the rand rehabilitation since your report. And then a question not to you, but to the AG. On page 54, the auditor was Nexa SABNT. I just want to know from the auditor's office, Auditor General's office, if you are satisfied with this state-owned company as a going concern. They were in trouble for a number of years. As a matter of fact, in this committee, we ask questions whether it's a going concern. And I just need a fresh outside view from auditors. You don't have auditors here, but from your side, maybe, whether you satisfied that you are going concern, and from the AG's office, whether they satisfied that you are indeed a going concern. Thank you.
I think let that question be for both. more confident than you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also express my pleasure to the brothers, the breath of fresh air that is breathing through the corridors of Alexco. I have a number of questions. Let me kick off by a residential one, the more mundane one. You know, the previous CEO was not stationed at Alexco. She used to fly in and out of Alexco, based in Joburg. As a result, Alexco was managed by remote control, and that is why a lot of things went wrong, because you did not have superintendency in situ. Now, I want to know if that has changed, because the big houses there, large infrastructure in terms of houses. And I just want to find out if, in terms of corporate governance, there is a residential authority there, or we're still using the commuting system by the CEO who's supposed to be there all the time. That's number one. Number two, your link to that was a lot of assets there. You see, your presentation is excellent, but it's a bit too stingy and too frugal. You're lacking detail. Now, as the balance goes, as the saying goes, the devil is in the detail. And now, there are a lot of assets that Alice has got. Now, you might have indicated them somewhere, but I'd like to find out if that problem of houses, ownership transfer, etc., how that has been handled, because we know that there are those people who have occupied, employees of Alice have occupied those houses, and there was an expectation that they would own those houses, and the whole rental thing, so that thing has not been wrapped up nicely. So, from our side, it's an oversight committee. We want to ensure that when the township establishment is taking place and when there's going to be transfer of assets, we don't have that hanging in the air. And I always refer to the negative situation of textbooks under the bridge. Now, as a control committee, we're not going to micromanage Alexco or all the state-owned companies, but we want to ensure that some of the no debt is shoved under the carpet. Next to that, into that is the question of C days. You were doing two C days. Now, can you just clarify to us as a portfolio committee? Alexco is there as an entity and doing business of exploration in its own right. Then you're with the PSJV. Now, just clarify me. I might have missed something here. What is Alexco precluded from doing? Is in terms of the JV. Is Alexco confined to the sea, to the marine exploration, and precluded from terrestrial exploration, or they're doing what? I just don't know if there's ever overlap. There were two entities, the PSJV, they have with Alexco. What is Alexco actually doing? I know in the past, Alexco was debarred. Alexco, thou shalt not touch the earth because of the land trips. Now the PSJV has been operated. Now, and you hold 51% in the PSJV. Now, it will just define to me the profile in terms of exploration. What are you prohibited from doing and what are you allowed to do? Now, next one, Chairperson, quickly, is the question of the Auditor General. Honorable Michael is taking the wind out of my sails a little bit, and I'm not good enough. But there is this aspect that is not clear in my mind. The AG has come on board to audit Alexco. Now, you mentioned that there's also another auditing company, and there was disagreement in terms of the opinion as to what version should supersede, linked to the VAT and other things. I just want to find out now, because in my mind, the opinion of the AG takes precedence. There shouldn't be uncertainty that the auditing company A says this, and another company says so. still in the dark. There should be absolute clarity as far as the auditing of opinion is concerned. Because I assume that the data of the auditor general is superior, and that must settle the issue of auditing. And there shouldn't be no ifs and buts and so on. Yeah. If I would just leave that chapter at the moment, I'll see if it is necessary to raise the issues. If you can indulge me in the second round, if it's possible.
I like it, Honorable Mukwela, when you ask only three questions, you actually tick them off. You say number one. And then if you have more, you'll say the next one.
But he normally ends at number nine when he's
looking. You can say the next one. And you don't say last.
Thank you. Yes, let me also say what a pleasure it's been, and I must say also the way you presented today, because you know we come into this having read reports and so on, and then we go through the whole thing of measures, divisions, and statements, and I don't know what all else. But the way you presented today, and each one having a turn, I really enjoyed that. Can I just also, I want to add now to the one on the housing development raised by the Honourable Mukwena, and to say that if there is ownership of the house or the title deed handed over, and also if there's rental stock only, then does that mean who owns those houses? The other thing I picked up on your report here on page 45 relating to that, which is of grave concern to us, well, to me, I serve on the Human Settlements Portfolio Committee, and that is you talk under your social and labour plan of provisioning of sanitation services to communities. And my question relating to that would be, do you have anybody there who is still using the bucket system? That would be relating to that question. It's here in the report. Okay, and then if I can ask this, yes. There's quite a big section in your report here on pension, post-retirement stuff, sort of ranging around page 92. Mm-hmm. I think the question I want to ask here, and you talk about all of the defined benefit members have transferred to the defined contribution section. And my question here, because we've had quite a lot to do with one of our entities and this whole pension thing, is to ask you the question, you know, how do the beneficiaries benefit from your pension scheme? I see that, you know, they've transferred, I understand that, but what is the increase that they get? Are there bonuses, increases? And how does that work? So if you could give us some indication of that. The other question I would like to ask is related to the two diamond mines that you've identified as possible new opportunities, but a lack of funding. And this is also related to another one I'm going to ask, and that is, where is that funding going to come from? What is the status of that? You know, is it something just being left? We don't have the funding, so we'll leave it. And then I think related to that, I want to ask the question, how do you see, and it's really a good news story today, so, but to ask you in this good news time, as you plan forward, and it's exciting, do you envisage coming back to the fiscus for more funding? So that would be my next question. And then I have possibly just one more question, and that is on your presentation. So many things, yeah. On your slide 16, where you talk about the annual financial statements, 3 of 7, you talk about an operating loss of 20.7, and I know we've come out of that with a profit. But what contributed to that operating loss? And how are you monitoring that into the future so that it doesn't eat away at the profits? Thank you.
I'm going to address some of the issues and then we'll direct them at FOSI and some of the management. Just on the issue of VAT, one of the challenges that we face is that the PSJV is not governed by the PFMA, as are we as ElectScore, and it operates independently. So the penalty that was incurred around VAT was at the PSJV level. When we did encounter it, we took the necessary actions. However, we were unable to avoid paying the penalty. However, what we have done now between ourselves and the PSJV is to ensure that that doesn't occur again. We accept the findings of the audit report, and it won't happen again. Unfortunately for us, and it's going to come to a question we're going to answer a little bit later on as to what we can and cannot do. As this management sits here, they have no direct control over the PSJV at all. It's an independent company, although it's unincorporated. They run on their own. And one of the issues we have is about whether they have to comply with the PFMA or not, because the community company, the RMC, which is a 49% shareholder, says we don't have to. And we say, but we have to, we're 51%. So this is a dilemma.
So
that's how that came about. And we are apologetic for it. It was beyond our control. But what we believe is this management team has taken remedial action, and it won't happen again. Just in terms of the employment, what we can say is that every single person that's been employed now has been from the community. The only time that somebody has not been from the community is the skill did not exist either now. And what we've done is, in anticipation of the plant that we've just put up, Maesvlak, we started training people, I think, Percy, 6 months before the time. So we identified the skill set, and then the management at the PSJV know very clearly that they can only employ people from the community. So every single additional employee that you see there is one of the, from either Kubu Sandrup, Lekkerson, or Etienne Fontaine. Let's see if you can take us through the carat increase, please.
Okay, just on the carat increase, let me just try and explain to your honorable members how we're going to do this. We are upset, you know, from the base of 35,000 that we achieved last year. We're going to increase it by 50% to about 55,000 this year. And that is underpinned by three issues mainly that we've been able to achieve this particular financial year. With the first one being the introduction of the Maesvlak exploration plant. The Maesvlak exploration plant, just on exploration for a full year, is designed to do about 40,000 carats. So obviously, with the last 3 months that you have for this particular financial year, you are going to get a portion of that. So that's coming from there. The second issue is we've got 52 beach contractors at ElectScore. You've noticed that, you know, with the significant increase in sea days for the financial year 2022, we didn't see a corresponding increase in their performance. Honourable members, that's mainly a situation that we're dealing with, whereby I always say, you know, after a few of them have made a bit of money, they spend some time at the casino in Kimberley and not out at sea mining the diamonds. So what we're doing at this particular point in time, we're ensuring that if God has allowed that there's a sea day that's available there, everybody must be at sea mining the diamonds. That has actually yielded fruits us for this year. And we're seeing an increase in the number of carats coming from those beach contractors, because we will terminate the contract if they don't actually achieve more than 50% of their sea days per annum. Let's agree with them, and what we do is we take those contracts and we give it to the person who is always there at sea and mining diamonds for us. So that's the second thing that's actually underpinning the increase in carats. The third thing, you know, honorable members, relates to the introduction of new beach mining methods. We've been actually collaborating with NAMDEP in Namibia, where they look at what they call channel mining, which is a specialized form of mining that focuses your rich channel that extends from the land into the sea and utilizes what they call walls or copper dams for mining at sea. We've now been given approval by the authorities to be able to do this, and we've done a trial, and part of the carats that we're talking about that have increased this year eventually come from there. Mm-hmm. And going forward, you know, in terms of now jumping from 55 to 70, you know, we're going to maintain the tree that I've mentioned. Obviously, you know, we're going to get more carats on the plant as it stabilizes and it goes into steady state. But the additional issue that we're doing, we've got a concession called 1C at Alaska, which is a deep sea marine concession which goes up to 30 kilometers off the coast and up to 300 meters depth. Obviously, because we didn't have the capital to be able to do mining at a particular point, we then signed a contract with the only company that's able to do that in the world. It's called IMDSA. It's based here in Cape Town. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to announce that they've got a mining vessel that's second to none in the world. And we at Alaska have been able now to sign a contract with them. And I urge, if any of you are available tomorrow, because I'm taking the board there to see this vessel. It's here in Cape Town for repairs. It's nothing that you've seen in the world. It's a floating mining vessel that used to be an army boat for the British Falklands War. It was converted into a mining vessel. And this is the one that's going to start exploration in June this year for Alaska. We've signed a contract in this particular regard on a charter sort of like a basis where we take 10% of the revenue and they keep the 9. It's a $3 billion vessel. And just to give you an idea, it will, you know, break even on average at 10,000 carats. And based on the exploration that we've been doing together with the guys, you know, for the past 2 years, we are going to get those carats. So I'm more than confident that what I'm telling you here, you know, I'm under-promising, but we will definitely over-deliver on those numbers. Yeah. Okay? And then...
just on the diamond, the prices, the actual prices for this year, do we know?
Yes, yeah.
And then also just the exchange rate person?
No, definitely. Dr. Koronov, on the exchange rate, we're budgeting 850 for this financial year.
How much?
850. And we're sitting at 658 for the diamond price.
How much the diamond price?
658.
658.
Sorry, Dr. Koronov, if I can just say with respect
to these diamond prices and the exchange rate, I think what we have at Alexco is a depleting resource.
Mm.
So all of the bigger stones, etc. What we're finding is that the size of the stones and the carats are reducing.
Mm.
So we get some benefit when the exchange rate is favorable, as it is now.
Mm.
But because of the stone size is getting smaller and smaller, this kind of offsets it. So we're forced to, in order to meet the kind of targets that we push, we're forced to be more aggressive in the mining. And those are the steps that Percy and his team have announced together with a team down at the mine. But there's an offset. We have a better exchange rate, but we're getting smaller and smaller stones, and those two offset each other.
Okay.
To talk to Dr. Koronov's question around the poor land-based mining, why that had been, and because of the southern areas and what we've been doing since then. Maybe you want to talk to him a little bit about most of that.
Honorable members, with regards to the land mining, obviously with the past 20 years, no exploration there happening. You know, the guys actually at Alaska mine themselves into a corner. The southern portion, basically in Alaska, is what I call a alluvial in nature. So it was deposited by the ocean. So in a sense, we never actually did any exploration there. It's only now, with the maize flock plant coming on board, that we're going to do a bit of exploration on those specific areas. What the management before had tried to do to the Koronov was to do what you call mining exploration, which is not necessarily successful if you don't have a defined program that is underpinned by proper geophysical studies and aeromagnetics, which we've now done. So we can confidently say that with the work that we're doing now, we're actually doing it with a very competent, you know, ex-DBS type company that's based here in Cape Town called Vista. And the results we're seeing are phenomenal, you know, in terms of the potential of Alexco going forward from a land-based point of view exploration. So definitely, when we do put up mining blocks on the south, it will be underpinned by proper exploration, as what we've been doing right now with that stuff. So we will ensure that, you know, even when we finish maize flock, that when we put up mining blocks there, we have guaranteed that they will be payable. And then on number seven, with regards to the land reputation, I'm able to announce that when we came on board, you know, all the backlog quantum for the reputation was identified to be at 260 million rands. And I must say that is fully funded, and the money is sitting in 11 trusts for this particular regard. But we as management then put up a tender for a specialist implementation framework for the work, because that was not clearly defined. We finalized that tender, and as we're speaking right now, within the next 8 months, we are going to have a fully fledged 5-year implementation plan for the reputation, such that we can actually use the monies that have been allocated for this particular responsibility accordingly. We're not just going to do and use the money at random without a proper plan. So we are putting up a plan in place at this particular point in time. It was quite a very sort of like well-attended tender, and I'm able to announce that the organization that has been successful in doing the work has tremendous experience in doing this kind of work on the West Coast. So we're very comfortable and happy about that.
Will it be funded?
It is fully funded.
It's fully funded. The state has made an allocation. Through the deed of settlement, there was some amount of money put together. I think the point that Percy making, though, Chair, through you, is that what happened is that we, for example, have put up over 70 kilometers of netting on a place called Boegeberg, which had been done historically before our time. Then we started mining part of Boegeberg again, so undoing exactly what you've done. And so what the point person has been making is that we go and do rehab, and then we decide for some or other reason we want to go and re-mine that area, and all of that money is wasted. What we've now done is we said we're stopping all this ad hoc rehab. We've put out a tender, we've got the experts to come and take a look, so that when we're going to do rehab, at least the historical stuff is going to be according to a plan. There's an expert who's been doing this for other mines in the area. If I can just talk to the going concern issue, I think part of the challenge that we had, and why I think you were deliberating about whether we were or were not a going concern, is because it's the manner in which the funding, the 350 million that had been given to the state by virtue of the deed of settlement, was being treated. That has been resolved in respect of the new MOI and the share certificates. So both from the Auditor General's point of view as well as from the auditors, we are a going concern. There are no concerns about that in respect of Alexco as an entity. If I can just go to the Mr. McQueen, the issue around the presence in Alexander Bay. Firstly, I've made it very clear, Minister made it clear to us, that we should not be an absentee board. So as a board of directors of Alexco, we hold at least one board meeting per annum in Alexander Bay. In addition to that, I can tell you that at least four of the board members in the last 12 months since we last met have been there at least 5 times. I personally have been to the mine at least 15 times, and I've driven there 9 times, all 850 k's to and fro. I try to, on a cycle of 6 weeks, I try to go there at least once every 6 weeks. Sometimes I don't meet that. This is a busy town, for example, but we try to be there very regularly. In addition to that, we've also said, in accordance to the comment that you made, one of the reasons when we appointed Percy was to say that we can't have an absentee management. Percy must also see that he goes down there, and he goes down there far more regularly than I think within a 3 to 4 week cycle, he and the relevant members of his executive go down. I know, for example, that Bushley has just been down there with the police. So different people have been there, and we're there all the time. I think what's very important, though, is to note that in terms of the deed of settlement, this management team has got no authority down at the mine. And this is a problem. It is actually a challenge, and it's a flaw of the deed of settlement. I think the deed of settlement had good intention, but it practically it is a big problem, because if they don't comply with the PFMA, Percy has to stand here, the Auditor General, the department comes down on us, but yet he has no control over this, because the deed of settlement is a court order, and the court order says that we pool our assets and it's run by an independent management. This has been identified as a challenge, and one of the things that the shareholder is doing together with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, ourselves and the community, is that what we're now doing is we're re-looking at the deed of settlement to basically see that it becomes more practical, because we've got various bits of legislation in place which are actually we are in contravention of in terms of the Mining Act, etc. We sign the contracts for the IMDSA or the marine contractors, but yet we don't manage them on a day-to-day basis. If there's an accident or, God forbid, a death, Percy becomes responsible, but he's not there. He has no control over it. So this is a challenge.
So, would you expect, Mr. Burgess? Now, I don't think your circumstances are different from ours, members of Parliament. I'm sorry to bother you. But I mentioned that now, in a week, a substantial number of days, I'm actually bottomed in Cape Town. Now, even if it means committing more, we can go back home and come back here. But you see, if your situation were top heavy executive, like the CEO or Chairperson, and not the committee, you see what you're not dealing with, what thieves then saw, thieves. They watch the movement. They know that when the case are made, the case are the marshal general, just monitor them. All of these guys are only here for 2-3 hours, not from the flies out. And then that's where the corruption and the community creeps in. So we shall forever, Chairperson, be faced with this problem because of, I'm glad at the frequency of visits. But you see, you can't buy the company by visits. You see, you can't. There's no chance to do that. You'll forever be losing money because people are going to pull the carpet under your feet and so on. You must at least have a certain amount of days where you're actually bottomed at the other scope. Be there yourself. And not just parachute in and out and commit. Well, then becoming a committee executive.
Sorry, Chief, if I can just respond. There is in terms of the deal of settlement, there is a fully fledged management team there. There's 700 people that are working there. So we do go in on regular intervals, but we're not allowed to be there. If we go there, we're not allowed to walk onto the mine except with the invitation of the management of the PSJV. This is a problem. It's a challenge.
No. This is Alex. Not only there are two separate entities. Sorry, separate entities.
PSJV is different. It's an entity not yet incorporated, but it's also Alexco as a historical main company that's with 51% share at that time. So Alexco as an entity, as a company, can't just be removed. They run on the basis of committing. Let's talk Alexco now and leave it with the PSJV separately. You see, because I'm trying to avoid situation. Can't we put us into this sum? And I told you cannot be a top NCUA living Johannesburg, just flying in there predictably, because they just watch the aeroplane coming. You know, she's here now. Because she's going away. You know what I'm saying? That is the crux of the matter.
A point of clarity. Through the deal of settlement, Alexco is no longer allowed to go down to the mine. We have no authority there. So all of our operations, we only own a 51%, and we manage that through our representatives on the board of directors. Physically, we cannot be there. We can only be there on the invitation of the PSJV management. I think fortunately, Percy has a historical relationship with the management there, and they've been very accommodating and allowed us to go down and we do participate. But it's purely by invitation. It's not by design. If we could, we would go and locate there physically. But after the land claim was settled, it stated that Alexco now no longer, we're a holding company. And so we have no input on the marine, how they execute the marine rights, how they execute the land rights. All those sit in this joint venture. So I agree with you. We would like to go there. We'd like to be stationed there, but we're not allowed to in terms of the court settlement. So the only thing we can rely on is the goodwill of the management there, that they know that we're there to help, and they have been. They've been very receptive, and I think that's why you've seen the kind of changes. But that's purely because of I think Percy, the manner in which he's dealt with it, but in terms of the law, the court says that we cannot be there. We would like to be there.
Okay.
See, just maybe if you want to just talk to the owners, the ownership, sorry, Zarina, the ownership, the transfer of the assets, the houses, and the township establishment of McQueen.
Honourable Member, at the moment we are in the process of transferring the, in terms of the deed of settlement, transferring various properties over and assets over to the community structure. We're working very closely with the CPA. Our problem, however, lies in the fact that the deed of settlement created a very intricate structure of trusts and direct and companies with very specific trustees and directorships in place. We are working with the community to ensure that those trusts and those companies are properly structured. For example, one of the companies that we have to transfer assets to is a company called the Property Holding Company. The Property Holding Company has to have 7 directors, of which 4 must be community directors. So what we are doing is we are equipping the new CPA, or the Communal Property Association members, to ensure that they understand their directorships, that they understand their trusteeships, and in the process we will then be able to transfer those assets across. We are obviously fearful of the fact that at the moment and historically we've seen it happen in the agricultural company where assets were transferred across and within the space of 3 years the company was placed in liquidation. So we don't want to see that happening with the property holding company. We're also assisting the Richtersbach Mining Company, which is the company that holds the land mining rights, also again to ensure that their directorships are properly in place and that they have a fully fledged board of directors that can manage their portion of the pooling and sharing joint venture. Proudly, I guess, say that on the 22nd of November 2013, we assisted in the establishment of a new town in South Africa. The Alexander Bay Township was established. So I do think that that is a feather in our cap. That took place at the end of last year, and we are now in the process of transferring across other assets to the community and to other entities, such as the Department of Public Works, mostly the Department of Public Works. So that process is underhand. At the moment, Alexco owns all those houses. So there are rental agreements in place with the community, with the members that are living in those houses, people that are either, for example, employees or, for example, the South African Police Service and other employees. What we're also thinking of doing at the moment, or in the process of doing, is to put in place some kind of awareness campaign in terms of when the houses are sold, how are we going to deal with that? How are we going to deal with, for example, the fact that at the moment people may or may not be paying for electricity? And so it is an awareness campaign because historically in mining towns, people don't expect to pay for these things. They come by virtue of it being part of a mining town. So these are things that we are busy looking at the moment. We want it to be a holistic plan from our side, and obviously when we put that in place, we will engage directly with the community and with our executive authority.
In terms of the question around just the auditors and the auditor general and auditor, we changed auditors this year, and when we changed auditors, the previous auditors were of the view that because the PSJV does not comply with the PFMA, or they're not compelled to, as stated in the deed of settlement, that mitigates some of the risks that for Alexco. The new auditors, it's the first time that they came, they had a different view. And so we had to sit with the Auditor General and with the auditors, and they finally resolved it, understanding that it's stated in a document that the PSJV does not comply, it becomes difficult for us to then enforce compliance. Again, we can only do that by virtue of a good working relationship, which we believe we have developed, and so there is some form of compliance. Just in terms of what is Alexco precluded from doing, even though the marine rights sits in the Alexco's name and the land rights, the court order says you put this in the PSJV and that management team run it completely. We are not, we don't have any input into that at all. That was what the court order decided. So Lexcor has to start looking at other opportunities. The holding company, this management team, has to look at other things if they want to get into mining per se. Just moving in on in terms of the title deeds, I think Zarina started to explain that. But so I think the idea is, in terms of the legal settlement, we will hand over the town and the houses. The challenge we have is, I think we've had on our books about 2 million rands per annum of unpaid rent. Is that correct? Yeah. So, and we've had to carry that because, as Zarina said, historically, Chair, the people just haven't paid. But what we've also found is that there's some people that are really destitute, that they've lost their jobs and so they can't pay. And so we've met with each person to try to manage. But then we have somebody who's earning a salary, who's a teacher or who's working in the police force, and they're just not paying. They say they never paid and they're not about to pay, and now they haven't paid for 60 years and they're not going to pay now. So this is a challenge that we have. But again, we are having to deal with it holistically. But the idea is that the township will be handed over and then leased back to Lexcor for the contractors and the employees. And I think we transfer then 10 million rand into the Community Property Association company. 45. So 45 million, sorry, 45. 10 million it goes now, and then an additional 45 for it. Sorry, for a 10-year period, we transfer 45 million rand. Social and labor plan, bucket system, I don't think there's anybody. There's nobody on the bucket system in Alexander Bay. I'm not sure what happens in the fourth town, because they're quite remote, but at least for Alexander Bay town, there's nobody.
With the election coming up, we don't want to find all of a sudden that you've got toilets with no shelter.
I think part of the upgrade that the CEO, Mr. Kosa, was talking about in terms of the four areas of the upgrade, one of them was the waste treatment, the water, and I think that includes it. So I think safe to say that in the town of Alexander Bay, when you come and see it, you'll be pleasantly surprised at the kind of upgrade that has taken place. The post-retirement?
Through Chair, I guess if you look at the financials, we have a surplus of about 16 million. And obviously the pension, you know, it is for employees, you know, to make sure that they are taken care of, you know, and, you know, our responsibility is to make sure that, you know, those funds are invested, you know, properly to ensure that, you know, and at the right time when employees need the money on retirement, you know, the funds are invested accordingly and they've needed the necessary results to actually be able to take care of that.
I think what I'm really trying to get at is currently, you know, what is the increase per annum in the distribution of the pension? If you don't know, it's all right. We'll perhaps get something later on.
We don't have that information now, but we certainly can get it and then send a written response through.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Percy answer where will the funding come from for the new area. But I want to, before he does that, I want to say the board has stated very clearly we're not going to go to the fiscus. This operation has to develop in a way that it will do it itself. So having set the scene, Percy can now answer.
Thanks, Jefferson. On the critical note that you've read, we were looking at opportunities within Northern Cape area on alluvial diamonds. We're not going to do that anymore. What we've discovered, I'm in a very lucky position personally because I used to head what they call Mvelaphanda Exploration for Trans-African Mvelaphanda, where I had an opportunity of going through the whole country and Angola to go and do exploration on alluvials. And I know we don't have anything that's lucrative in South Africa, except obviously what we have in Alaska. And the only closest place where it's there, it's our next door with our friend Robert Mugabe. But definitely, our focus will be purely on Alexco, on the land exploration. For 20 years, with no exploration having been done in Alexco, the results that we're seeing of what we call the inferred resource categorization of the work that we've been doing for the last 2 years are phenomenal.
In fact, it's almost showing us that nothing has actually happened over the past 8 years in Alaska. So our focus is going to be to utilize the funds that we have already at the PSAV to put up this solid indicated resource plan, which in itself becomes your bankable document that any financier can actually come in independently of the fiscus to increase corruption for the Alaska.
I think where we do need assistance is that we haven't, for the transfer of these assets, there is a shortfall. The department is assisting us with that. But in terms of the PFMA, if you transfer assets that sit on your books, you must be compensated for it. And this seems to be an ongoing dilemma and a battle that we face. That's to the tune of 202 million rand. And I think if we have that, it provides us with some kind of leverage where we then can commercially go into the market to look at opportunities.
11, 6, 17. With regards to the operating logs that we've talked about there, it was mainly as a function of the poor performance of the land operations last year. As I said before, the budgets by the previous management were based on land assumptions that they would be cut out of that, but there was no exploration actually done on those particular areas. We've stopped that right now with the current management. Everything going forward is underpinned by a proper exploration that has been done by an independent using acceptable ways of doing exploration in alluvial diamond mining. So I can comfortably say, honorable members, that the Western Africans have killed us. It will never happen again. Places are planned.
We don't use that word in politics.
Are planned, in areas that are not there properly exploited.
That's all the
questions. Just
a comment. I think if it is all possible, I'm looking to the committee secretary. If it is all possible that members who are available tomorrow to visit this plant in the harbour, if it can be arranged through your office or the CEO, it'll be good for us to see.
Yeah, I thought we would come to that.
That is the first one. And secondly, I think it's too late for this fourth term of Parliament, but we try to visit Alexcor on a number of occasions. And for reasons beyond our control, we never got to Alexcor. And I think we must put in the legacy report that this portfolio committee in the fifth term of Parliament must visit physically with you on the terrain, walk the sands and the beaches and the landing area, the mining area, and visit for yourself and see what's happening. Lastly, I'm extremely concerned about the deed of settlement that you have no authority, no control, no input, nothing. That is, it just does not make sense. And within a year, we're going to sit here, and there's big trouble and big problems. And then people are going to say, but how did you go from this situation to that situation? We've seen it happen before. We've been witnesses to this. I don't say it's going to happen, but I'm asking whether the deed of settlement is being reviewed. And where have you identified areas through the department or through the executive authority? Are there negotiations and discussions how to improve the weaknesses of the deed of settlements without putting the court order aside?
Chairperson, we have a very fundamental problem. We have a very, very serious problem here. You see, the court injunction amounts to perverse nationalization. Because it says it is the opposite of what should actually happen. The populist way of saying the state must nationalize. Now, how, I don't know how we got to a stage where the courts can actually quote unquote, you know, dragoon us into you know, this perverse nationalization. Because originally it was supposed to be empowerment over the Rastafari community, but not to actually jettison state control and state ownership. Now, to me, I'm at a loss. And it means something that Dr. Pomer just said. We must act very swiftly. We don't have time now. Those who come and serve on this patrol committee, we must have reversed that court order because it's completely ill-informed. We must actually go to the constitutional court. You know, just have to appeal. There's no settlement. Like we cannot have a situation where the state asset is being, where government is being, state is being disemboweled. Assets are being taken out of the government and thrown, put into the hands of the committee in such a manner that it makes a mockery of empowerment. This is supposed to be an act of empowerment. Learn the institutions of state. It's an act of empowerment, not of state disembowelment. It cannot happen. We must go to the Constitutional Court to actually rectify this thing. And you know, talk to the committee clearly and say that it cannot happen that way. Because you see, it's wrong. Statutorily, it's completely wrong. I don't know what actually happened here. It's absolutely correct. It's like some of the wrong things you see happening in SABC and whatnot. That we don't want to be settled with all those problems. This thing is going to be reopened completely, renegotiated transparently, and there should be proper road shows and proper public hearings with an accredited firm of auditors. When we are called in the hall, the auditing firm is there to take the names, the IDs of all the people are there. And the whole thing will be transparent with that. We don't have a situation of that can obtain also in the fishery industry, where when the road is made, people are start jumping all over the place, and also in the case of the e-toll, they say they were not public. Because I cannot for the life of me understand how this happened. Under our watch, Chairperson, I know we've just been there for 4.5 years, and this thing is a long history. But you see, we will definitely condemn that we, as a patrolling committee, have received these reports and we have glorified and I say congratulations, well done, and we push forward as a legacy report. This has got to be, we might be very strict from the corner of initially saying this thing must be on record. That is the deed of sale must be reopened, reviewed, and if needs be, taken to the constitutional court because it is nationalization via the courts, which is really wrong. Perverse nationalization. It's absolutely wrong. Because, you see, let me explain all those numbers. I'm not trying to be radical. We have the Electoral Act passed by Parliament. Now, that decision of the court contradicts the Electoral Act. Mm-hmm. It contradicts it. So, which means we must either unpack the DOC or repeal the Electoral Act in order to accord with the current dispensation. So we will see the problem. That's how fundamental this thing is. Very fun. Because I can't understand for the life of me how the PSJ and the PSJV can play boss over the state assets. Through what instrumentality? And you and Mr. Benjamin said, no, you also Mr. Koda say, oh no, look, it's what the court has said, and by the way, I'm not blaming for that. We are just trying to exercise rigorous, activist, parliamentary oversight. So that's our job. You see, you cannot have that type of situation. We're saying we're 51% and there's a roadblock, thou shalt not. What it makes a mockery of hell of having a 51% was that 51% shouting has got gravitas, it has got weight, corporate weight. Because if you are told you are a majority shareholder, but thou shalt shut up and here absolutely to run the show with ignorance. How can you have 49% people who are just community people there run the show and expect to join the goods, and then those who have got expertise like ourselves I am struck. Don't put your hand behind your back. Don't say a word. And thou shalt not set your foot. Thou shalt not cross the threshold. So that now we can now, you know, have a free for all. Because it's going to amount to looting of state, looting on an unprecedented scale. So it's going to amount to that. I mean, you don't need rocket science to know that. The people with expertise, history to run a mine, are told, stay put, the newcomers coming now here on the good view, and through the international court, and are supposed to run the show. You cannot, as Honorable Foreman says, say that if you cannot measure it, you cannot manage it. So this whole thing here has got to be written completely. Yeah, I'm at a loss, Chairperson. But I can only say, and not quite to say the Lord, Minister of that mercy, the Act of Parliament will have to be, of this will have to be, amend, only two options, to amend the Electoral Act, to accord with the court injunction, or to escalate our challenge of the court injunction, so we are the High Court, we're going to the SCA, the Supreme Court of Appeal, and if this be to the Constitutional Court, to amend, to embattle this genocide, because it's not going to result in the empowerment of the people. There's going to be looting, and down the line, there will be an absolute mess. And we shall be. And people will say, where were parliamentarians when all this mess happened?
I think this is a very important I think that it is the view of the committee. And maybe we should, I think it should actually be the department that raises this matter. But I haven't given the department an opportunity to comment on the report as well. And I would like to invite you, so maybe there is something that is being done at that level about this whole arrangement of the seat of state, what is PRPs and PSJs, and I like the relationship between the government. It really, we will be flogging Alexco, and I mean, your hands are tight, as Honorable Mukwena said.
Clubbing your seat, clubbing your seat.
It's really a crazy arrangement if one looks at that. I think we need to do something to correct this anomaly.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to say that the concerns that have been expressed here with regard to the deed of settlement are shared by both the department and the ministry. And the minister has tasked the department to commence with the process of reviewing the deed of settlement. It's going to be quite a long process because we are going to have to consult and engage quite extensively with the communities. As they've also expressed a concern with certain aspects of the deed of settlement, and they would like to have those reviewed. So ourselves and the Department of Rural Development will be commencing with that process. We have our view in terms of what we'd like to change. Alexco has its own views as well as to areas that they would like to see changed. And hopefully between all the parties concerned, there will be a meeting of minds which will lead to the amended deal of settlement being presented to court for approval. Can I just make one more comment? The issue of funding has been raised earlier in terms of the projects that are on the table currently. Of course, there is adequate funding, but going forward, the department will be starting the MTF process to ensure that the 202 million rands that was not provided to Alexco as part of the arbitration outcome, that is realized from National Treasury. And of course, I just want to also say that Alexco has quite a bit on their plate currently, just to address the concerns raised with regard to their absence in Bechtelsveld. There are other opportunities that they are chasing, which is taking up both the board and the executive's time. So I just want to say that there's quite a bit that we're expecting them to do. We're expecting them to play a greater role in securing energy security in the country. Thank you very much.
I think this point on the seat of settlement will feature very prominently in our legacy report, so that this matter is not lost when the fifth parliament comes. We must make sure that this matter is not lost. Let's just on the visit to this event. But maybe before that, let me also congratulate on behalf of the community, Mr. Korda, on your appointment and the excellent team that you put together. I'd like to wish you well during your term. I hope that that will go well. I think as the committee has already expressed, happiness on the good work that you've already started doing to turn around Alexa. It has always been one of the entities that the committee is very worried about.
Yes.
I hope that we have really turned towards a very positive direction with regard to Alexa. I want to wish you well. I don't know which members will be available for this visit tomorrow. We must agree on the number of members because we'll have to arrange transport. We must also agree on the time that we will have to leave Parliament.
Chairperson, how long will the boat be there? Should be there. Does it have to be tomorrow?
Yeah, it's
tomorrow.
No,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying the boat will be there tomorrow. I don't think we should crowd that the ship because my understanding that that boat is going to be in the harbour for the next 3 weeks. We asked Mr. Magyar just to find out so that there's a bit of freedom in terms of the stay there. Because as we are aware, on the members, the solar here, parliamentary debates, response to the president, and so on.
It will be before the debate. And
so far,
it will be in the morning. We would prefer the morning part of the day.
Yeah.
Let's check that
okay.
First. Which members will be available for the visit to?
If I can, tomorrow's visit is during the afternoon. It's from 2 o'clock. But the ship is going to be in the harbour for the next few months.
Okay.
I think if you find a common date, for another 2 months it should be there.
Oh.
Let's do this then. We will leave it between the committee secretary and Sam.
Yes.
Okay. Because the committee secretary knows our program and availability, and you will also check with members. I think that's one of the Honorable Mkwena's suggestions. Because the afternoon is completely out, and 2 o'clock will be in the house. Because I just assume that it will be the morning. I think this then brings us to the end of it. We are not going to allow Alexa to leave now, because we're just going to have one set of minutes that we have. Don't leave because that will disturb. It won't take more than 5 minutes. As members, we have before us for approval or consideration of approval of the minutes of the 11th of February. I think what's important is the resolution. The committee resolved that SAFCO should forward a formal request to the committee regarding the intervention and assistance that staff are required on the following challenges: minority shareholders and strategic partnerships, facilitating a trilateral between the Department of Public Enterprises, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and the future role of SAFCO. Is that what you? Honorable Kurinov moved, and Honorable Michael second. Thank you so much. This brings us to the end of this meeting. I'd like to thank all of you for your little contribution to this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.